Please pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessed occasion of the gathering of your people. Father, we thank you for providing for us for this facility, for the facility next door. Father, we thank you even for providing for us through the storm. We pray that you would bless the workers that repair the facility. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us here. We thank you that you're not constrained by location, but still, we love this place because you've met with us here so often. And Father, we pray that this day, by your grace, you would meet with your people. Would you feed your sheep? Would you give us what we need? And we ask you this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, church, either a word of warning or a word of judgment. Please open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. The prophetic Old Testament book Daniel, and look there to chapter 5. The book Daniel is believed to be named after and written by the prophet Daniel in about the 6th century BC. And the book Daniel is sometimes referred to as exilic literature. Exilic literature, because like parts of the book of Jeremiah, as well as portions of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and the opening chapters of the book Ezra, the book's setting is the Babylonian exile, so hence exilic literature. At the beginning of the book, Daniel, the protagonist, is a very young man. He was one of the so-called Hebrew children, captured in Israel, selected for beauty and intellect and potential, carried away captive into Babylon by the great Babylonian monarch Nebuchadnezzar to be trained in the Chaldean language, to be made a minister in the emperor's court. You may recall some of those other Hebrew children, contemporaries of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or as our children remember them from their evening bedtime stories, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were the Babylonian names that were given them by their captors, the names for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel, you may recall, was given the Babylonian name Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar. If you study the book Daniel, you'll see that, like a tapestry, there's a beautiful golden thread that is woven through this book. A golden thread that binds all the narratives together. And that golden thread that binds all of these narratives together is the idea, listen, the golden thread, the idea of the absolute sovereignty of God. The central theme of the book Daniel is God's absolute sovereignty over human history and the empires of men. The God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel, is the one who sets up kings. The God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel, is the one who brings down kings. And he does so as he pleases. And there is no person, no power, no force that can stop him. Before him, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What doest thou?" Daniel 4:35. Well, listen, friends. Nebuchadnezzar learned this. and all men do, listen, or will, all the kingdoms of this world will come to an end and will be replaced by the Lord's kingdom, which shall never pass away. And listen, though trials and difficulties continue for the saints of God until the end of this world, at the end, the faithful ones will be raised to glory and honor and everlasting life. You probably know that it's in the book Daniel, chapter 12, that we have probably the most explicit reference in Old Testament scripture to the essential New Testament doctrine of resurrection of the dead. It's Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, which is not our text for the morning, but if you're not familiar with that, mark it down. There's much to learn from a study of the book Daniel, but if there's an intensely practical message for us today, it's probably this. Listen, it is possible to live a faithful life in exile, surrounded by pagan influences and propaganda, if one sets one's mind to serving the Lord wholeheartedly. Let me say that again. It is possible to live a faithful life in exile, surrounded by pagan influences and propaganda, if one sets one's mind to serving the Lord wholeheartedly. And saints, do you see how practical that is? Pretty practical. You see, we are sons and daughters of the great High King, made to be citizens of a perfect world. Even Eden. And sin has gotten us into trouble. And this fallen world, what the great apostle Paul called this present evil world, is a place of exile for us. Just as Babylon was a place of exile for Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, and Daniel. As pagans, pan-paganism, and a wicked culture surrounded the Hebrew children in the depths of dark Babylon, so we are surrounded. We, children of light, are surrounded by darkness. Strangers in a strange land. I know from talking to some of you that you experience this often. I just don't feel like I belong here sometimes. Well, listen, I hope you find encouragement in the record that Daniel set down for us. Here, a young man, a Hebrew, a Jew on the inside, not just on the outside, set his mind to obey God. He set his face like a flint, and the Holy Scriptures say that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And God honored this young man. Listen, God honored this young man, and he upheld him in the midst of many trying situations. And there's an unchanging scriptural principle given by God in the Holy Scripture, and Daniel is a beneficiary of this principle. It's an explicitly spoken word from God given by prophetic utterance in the book 1 Samuel. Just listen. And the word of Jehovah spoken by the Almighty to the prophet Samuel is this: them that honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2:30. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of Almighty God. Them that honor me, I will honor. And Daniel, this young man who had determined to honor God by purposing in his heart not to defile himself, this young man was preserved, protected by Almighty God, and became a mighty prophet of the Lord. Now, by the time we come to our reading in Daniel chapter 5, Nebuchadnezzar is no longer the king. Belshazzar is the king. Belshazzar, not Belteshazzar. Remember, Belteshazzar was the Babylonian name given to Daniel, but Belshazzar is king. And the history of Babylon is murky at this point, and it's not clear historically that Belshazzar is actually the son of Nebuchadnezzar, though he may be. Nebuchadnezzar is referred to as, or Belshazzar is referred to as Nebuchadnezzar's son in verse 5, or in verse 2, and in verse 18. But from my study, I found that often that reference is relational, not familial, so it's not clear. But listen, for our purposes this morning, it doesn't really matter. In any case, by the time we get to Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar is king of Babylon. And in Daniel chapter 5, our protagonist records a most interesting incident, which we'll now read. And the reading is lengthy, so I'm not going to ask you to stand, but saints, listen, be reverent and attentive. This is Holy Scripture. And the Bible says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines, that they might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank of them. They drank wine and they praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees smote one against another. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read their writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom King Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit in knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in this same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men. And his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast not thou glorified. Then was this part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing which was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. My brothers and sisters, saints, listen. I want to assert this morning that Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was a criminal. A vile criminal. And his crime was all the more vile and vicious because it was a crime against Almighty God. A crime against the highest being, the highest person in the universe. Now, lest you think that the criminal, Belshazzar, was a worse criminal than others, I want to assert that large masses of humanity in our day that strut about upon the face of God's earth are guilty of the same crime as Belshazzar. They are guilty of exactly the same crime as Belshazzar. They are guilty of the heinous crime of failure to honor Almighty God. Now, in preparation for this sermon, I read several sermons that took Daniel chapter 5 as their primary text. And there were a couple of sermons that took this text and then railed against the consumption of alcoholic beverages. There were men who, with their anti-alcohol presupposition firmly in place, saw in Daniel 5 what they considered a vindication and a confirmation of their position. And their position was, oh, it's wrong for humans to consume alcohol. And so the substance of the sermon was, look at what God does when a wicked king hosts a drinking party. I read part of one sermon that faulted King Belshazzar for not inviting Daniel to the party. And the sum and substance of that sermon was, when the world hosts a party, the righteous aren't invited. Now, saints, listen. Intemperance in the use of alcohol is a sin. And Holy Scripture is crystal clear on that. Are you listening? But God Himself, when He walked this earth, was accused of being a wine bibber. And there are a lot of parties I don't expect to be invited to. Now, though those are observations that could be made from this text, they certainly are not central. If they have validity at all, they might be valid as secondary or tertiary observations. But listen, the primary observation that should be made from this text is plain and clear. The primary observation, listen, is so plain and so clear that there can be absolutely no doubt about it. When the prophet Daniel rebukes King Belshazzar in verses 18 through 23, he explains to Belshazzar precisely, exactly the reason why the judgment of God is coming down upon him. And the explanation is logical and straightforward, unmistakable, and profound. And saints, listen, I've prepared a sermon. But brothers and sisters, I hope it's not just a sermon. I hope it's a message. And brothers and sisters, saints of God, listen, and other honored guests, the explanation is the message. The explanation is the message. Daniel's explanation is the sermon I have for you today. And this is not one of those pleasant sermons that are a joy to preach. Listen, it's either a word of warning, that is, a word of reminder to the people of God, or else it's a word of judgment. It's one or the other. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want to paraphrase Daniel's words to the king. Okay? This is an Edwardian paraphrase. Belshazzar sees the writing on the wall. And Daniel says, Belshazzar, don't you remember your daddy, Nebuchadnezzar? Don't you remember that guy that was the king before you? It wasn't that long ago. Belshazzar, don't you remember why he had this great kingdom and all that majesty and glory and honor? Belshazzar, he had the kingdom and the majesty and the glory and the honor because God, the Most High God, the God of heaven, the God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel, gave it to him. He had all this, just because God gave it to him. And the God of the Hebrews that gave him this kingdom and made him so powerful within this kingdom, so powerful in fact that he decided who he would kill and who he would let stay alive. Who he would exalt and who he would humble. Who he would put down. He was really in charge. Really, really in charge. Like an oriental potentate. Way more powerful than, the president. And he was in charge because Almighty God put him in charge. But Belshazzar, don't you remember what happened to your daddy? When his heart was lifted up and his mind was swollen in pride, don't you remember what God did to him? Belshazzar, don't you remember? God took away his sanity. God just took his mind away and he became crazy as a Bessie bug. He was so mad, they couldn't even keep him indoors. They had to put him out of the house. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the rain, with the dew from heaven, until he knew that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he appoints over it whomsoever he wills. And you know all this, Belshazzar. You know all this. You know every bit of it. It wasn't that long ago. But even though you know this, even though you know all of this, you haven't humbled your heart. No! Instead of humbling your heart, you've lifted up yourself against the God of heaven, and you've brought the sanctified vessels from God's house. And you've said to your wives and your concubines, hey babe, look here. Look at these fancy cups. We're going to drink our expensive wine out of these fancy goblets. We took these from those Hebrews church house. We're going to use them tonight. And Belshazzar, instead of honoring the God of the Hebrews, the God of heaven, the one true God, instead of honoring him, you praised your false gods. Those gods that you've made out of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone. Instead of honoring the God that Nebuchadnezzar, your predecessor, learned about, you've praised these no-things, these nothings, these false gods, these gods who can't see anything, who can't hear anything, who can't think, who can't do anything. And the true God, the God that holds your breath in His hand, you haven't honored Him. And Belshazzar, you know better. You know better. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And saints, God's honored prophet then interpreted the writing on the wall. The words are clearly Aramaic. So it wasn't that Belshazzar's wise men and astrologers couldn't read the words. They just had no idea what they meant. The Aramaic words form a sequence of weights, decreasing from a mina to a shekel, a 60th of a mina, back to a half shekel. So it wasn't that the wise men couldn't read the words. They just couldn't understand what they meant for Belshazzar. And listen, red is verbs with different vowels attached to the Aramaic consonants. The sequence becomes this: numbered, numbered, weighed, and divided. Numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. Daniel's interpretation is this. Listen, you have been weighed in the divine balance, and you are found wanting. Your kingdom is divided, and it's given to the Medes and the Persians. Perez, or the singular of Upharsin, even sounds like the Aramaic for Persians. And the text then tells us that after this prophetic message of doom, the king keeps his word. Bring that robe. Bring that gold chain. And Daniel was clothed with scarlet or purple. And they put a golden chain around his neck and made a proclamation. He's the third ruler of all of Babylon. But what an empty gift. What an empty gift. Because the Holy Scriptures teach that that very night, Belshazzar's rule ended when the Medes and Persians entered Babylon. Belshazzar was killed that very night and replaced as king by Darius the Mede. Daniel had a very short reign. My friends, please hear me. As it was in the days of Daniel, so it is in our day. The writing is on the wall. I say to you this morning, the writing is on the wall. All who refuse to honor the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob will fade. All who neglect to bow to the King of Heaven, to the God of Daniel, will fail. All who refuse to honor the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul will fall. All who do not bow the knee to the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will perish. Beloved, the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. And judgment must begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. The great apostle, our apostle, Paul, indicted the thinkers of his day. He indicted the thinkers of his day for the crime of withholding honor from the Almighty. And how much more sophisticated have become the thinkers of our day. In the first century, Paul wrote to the saints at Rome in chapter 1 of his epistle. Beginning at verse 18, he says, and this is with my commentary, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Just like Belshazzar held the truth. They know. They know better. Because God has manifested in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. That was the sin of Belshazzar. Neither were thankful. And friends, thankfulness is honor. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, just like Belshazzar's gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood, just like that. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. What do you want to do? You want to do wickedness? Go ahead. Have at it. God gave them up to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Just like Belshazzar. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Friend, do you want to know why there are twisted, quote, queer desires all around? Women burning in lust after women and men burning in lust after men? I don't know, but Paul does. Because men who know better, just like Belshazzar, men who know better refuse to honor God. That's why. That's why. God says, you want to take the holy vessel and use it for something unholy? Go ahead and see what happens. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, God-haters, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in those that do them. Well, saints, listen. Do you see that the message of Paul to the Romans is the message of Daniel to Belshazzar? Do you see that? It's exactly the same message. This is exactly the same message. The word of God through the prophet was, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And I didn't quote the rest of that to you earlier. But it goes like this. Listen, "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." When the one who does not honor God is weighed in the divine balance, he is lightly esteemed. When he's weighed, he's found to have no weight with God. He's found to be wanting. He has no weight. He's light, lightly esteemed. He's nothing. He is to be divided and destroyed. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. You lightweight. Brothers and sisters, listen. Let me be dramatic for a minute. Drama can teach. I'll tell you this morning, we are surrounded by criminals. Saints of God, listen, we are surrounded by criminals. Criminals, men and women who breathe God's air, who drink God's water, who eat of the bounty of God's earth, men and women who know they should honor the Most High God who made heaven and earth, but they do it not. Maybe they're lifted up with pride like Nebuchadnezzar was, or maybe they are just foolish, doltish idiots like Belshazzar, who refuse to heed the lesson of Nebuchadnezzar. Do you see what happened to your daddy? Listen, God help us if we have to learn all our lessons firsthand. I say, God help us if we have to learn our lessons firsthand. We'll all die. Can we not learn from others? Oh, saints, we must. We must. The prophet Daniel's words are a rebuke to Belshazzar. Daniel's words indicated that after what Belshazzar had seen with Nebuchadnezzar, after what he had seen with his daddy, Belshazzar should have known the God of Daniel. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar made a proclamation to the whole kingdom, Daniel's God, the God of heaven, all men in my kingdom should honor him. Belshazzar says, who? Kind of reminds me of Pharaoh. I'll show you who. Belshazzar should have known. And saints of God, listen. Consider our world today. And I don't want you to have a hard heart towards the lost. I don't. And you can't. Christ forbids it. You can't have a hard heart toward the lost. But listen, you do need to know that men and women who refuse to honor Almighty God are not friends of Zion. You understand? Oh, I hope that they will surrender and join our holy revolution. Lay down your arms and fall in behind us. We are marching on. Soon it will be 4th of July. And I'm glad that I live in the United States of America. But I've told you before that there are better things for you to pray about than for God to bless America. Somebody should say amen. Amen. God has blessed America. And if God blesses America again, it might not be pleasant, friend. For our streets are filled with the innocent blood of millions of murdered babies. And God sees it all. I don't want a national religion. I don't. But I sure do wish that many, many, many knees would bow to Jesus of Nazareth. I sure do wish that many Americans would bow to King Jesus. I sure do wish that many of my countrymen would bow to the one true King. Well, I don't think that Daniel thought that all the Babylonian court would become Jewish proselytes. Do you? I don't think he expected that. But they should have honored the God of the Hebrews. They should have. And at the very least, they should not have profaned God's holy things. So let's quickly pass by the nations for a minute. And you can probably detect from my rhetoric, I have no optimism. Zero. None. About national repentance or national salvation. Zero. Optimism. None. And to dwell on that would drive me to depression, so I try not to do it. So let us leave the nations and kings and parliaments and presidents, and let's ask ourselves a question. You and me. When I am weighed in the divine balance as Belshazzar was weighed, will I have weight with the Almighty, or will I be lightly esteemed? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying I don't expect God to save America. I don't think He's interested. But He might save you. When I am weighed in the divine balance, as Belshazzar was, will I have weight with the Almighty, or will I be a lightweight? Will I be lightly esteemed? Will I be found wanting? Beloved, I hope that you see that the weighing that took place in Daniel 5 was a weighing in regard to honoring the Lord. That high divine principle, them that honor me, I will honor. That high divine principle was directly in view. Now, I happen to believe that much of the blessedness that you and I enjoy in the American nation is directly related to a divine blessing that honors those who honor the Almighty. I actually believe that. I believe that we're really blessed here because there are a lot of Christians in America. Praise God. I want there to be more. And I'm a little selfish too about it. You see, the more Christians are, more blessing. God blesses His people. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And though this is probably really obvious, yep, I'm saying that our heathen neighbors are blessed because of us. Because we're here. Why does it taste so good? Well, it's because there's salt on it. How can you see where to go? Well, there is some light around here. Aren't Christians salt? Aren't Christians light? Friend, we don't try to be. We are. You are. So here's the take-home message. And it's either a warning or it could be a portent of judgment. Listen, we had better honor God. Saints, listen, we better honor God. Do you know what it means when somebody says, you better do something? Did you ever tell your kid, you better do it now? What does that mean? Do you know what that means? It means it would be better for you if you would do this. It also means the opposite. It's a double-edged sword. It means it would be worse for you if you don't do this. That's what it really means when you say, you better do this. It means it would be better for you. And beloved, listen. By scriptural precedent, I believe I can tell you that if you do not honor God, if you do not honor God, you will be numbered, weighed, and divided. You will be measured, found wanting, divided, destroyed. You can go along for a long time, but you will be cut down. If you fail to honor the Almighty. Now, if you're here today and you say, I want to honor the Almighty. I do. I want to honor the Almighty, but how would I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I'm glad. And the first word I would say to you is this: stop offending God. Stop offending God. If you want to honor the Almighty, then stop offending Him. Don't take His holy vessels and use them in an unholy way. Belshazzar's dishonoring of the Almighty consisted of taking those sacred vessels, vessels sanctified and set apart for the service of God, and then using them in a common and vulgar way. Hey, babe, this fancy wine, it tastes better in this really fancy cup. And friend, listen, the truth is, all humanity was created to worship and glorify and serve God. And if you are using your body, your talents, your time in common and vulgar ways, you're offending God and you're dishonoring heaven. And when God weighs you, lightweight. Listen, what I'm saying is this: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And if you're not glorifying God, if you're not enjoying God, then you're not doing what God made you to do. And if you're not doing what God made you to do, then you're not honoring Him and you're a lightweight. And I have no desire to be offensive, but listen, if you're not doing what God made you to do, it doesn't really matter whether I offend you or not, because God's going to deal with you. Hear the word of the Lord again. Them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Listen, I can make this really, really simple. If you're here today and you say, I'm not honoring God, but I want to. If you're saying that, the word for you is really simple. It's this: repent. repent. And you know that that means change your mind. Metanoia. Change your mind. Repent. Agree that God is actually worthy of honor. And render to Him honor in as many ways as you can think of. Honor Him with your substance. Your money. Honor Him with your time. Honor Him with your priorities. Honor Him with your life. And listen, let me tell you what God really wants. God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And He says, you want to honor Me? Honor My Son. Bow your knee to Jesus of Nazareth. Brothers and sisters, honored friends, listen. Hear a great word of wisdom from the Apostle Paul. Let us judge ourselves so that we will not be judged. Jesus, Thy blessings are not few, nor is Thy gospel weak. Thy grace can melt the stubborn Jew and bow the aspiring Greek. Wide as the reach of Satan's rage doth Thy salvation flow. 'Tis not confined to sex or age, the lofty or the low. While grace is offered to the prince, the poor may take their share. No mortal has a just pretense to perish in despair. Be wise, you men of strength and wit, nor boast your native powers, but to His sovereign grace submit, and glory shall be yours. Come, all ye vilest sinners, come! He'll form your souls anew. His gospel and His heart have room for rebels such as you. His doctrine is almighty love. There's virtue in His name to turn the raven to a dove, the lion into a lamb. Please stand with me for prayer. Saints, I love to worship with you. When we worship, we honor Him. It's what Christians do. Let's pray. Incomprehensible, great, and glorious God, I adore Thee and abase myself. I approach Thee mindful that I am less than nothing. My thoughts are not screened from Thy gaze. My secret sins blaze in the light of Thy countenance. Enable me to remember that blood which cleanseth all sin, to believe in that grace which subdues all iniquities, to resign myself to the agency which can deliver me from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. O Father, Thou hast begun a good work in me, and canst alone continue and complete it. Give me an increasing conviction of my tendency to wander, of my exposure to sin, and help me to feel more of Thy purifying, softening love, of the influence of true religion, its compassion, love, pity, courtesy, and employ me as Thy instrument to the blessing of others. O Father, give me to distinguish between the mere form of godliness and its power, between life and a name to live, between guile and truth, between hypocrisy and a religion that will bear Thy eye. O Father, if I am not right, set me right. Please keep me right. And may I at last come to Thy house in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.